Blog Talk Radio.
Online, on air.
Politics on the Navajo Nation.
Politics on the Navajo Nation.
Hey, my name is Dylan. You are listening to Internet Radio Politics on the Navajo Nation. To be our guest, call 347-989-0048.
347-989-0048. Yat'e Shahasti Chol. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. Welcome, everybody, from everywhere. I mean, all over the world. Yeah, we have changed our little slogan, if you notice. Now it is the voice. It used to be the voice of the Navajo of Navajo politics. Now it is the world voice of the Navajo politics. Because, you know, this goes all over the place. And I hope everything is going well for you, and everything is great. And Jonah Bashim, I want to thank you so much, everybody, for listening in. And again, this is the Politics on the Navajo Nation. And we're going to go ahead and get started right off the bat with my support of Navajo Business Women. And the first person that I'd like to bring on is the world famous now is Miss Marley Shabala. Yat'e Marley.
Yat'e Cal. Thank you for that. How nice of an introduction.
Thank you. So what is going on down on the Navajo Nation government? There's some things upcoming tomorrow, I understand. So the floor is yours, Marley.
All right. Thank you. Shahat. Let me introduce myself to the listeners there. Marley Shabala Yin Shiat Tohegleni and Shlon Nast Ejabashis Chin. And I have my own business. I'm an independent journalist. And today I was attending a really wonderful event in Fort Defiance, Arizona. And that's about 15 miles north of Window Rock, Arizona, which is the capital of the Navajo Nation government. And in Fort Defiance, they were doing a grand opening for a huge, huge sports center for the Window Rock High School. And they call it the Stronghold of the Scouts, the Scouts Stronghold. And that's the name of the team there, Window Rock High School Scouts. And they had several dignitaries there, and they had a wonderful entertainment by the Navajo Immersion School. All grades were there. They sang in Navajo and danced. It was beautiful. And Dr. Peterson Saw, who's the former president and also chairman of the Navajo Nation, was the guest speaker. And he was talking to the people about how this huge sports pavilion, I mean, it's going to seat like over 60,000, would be able to draw businesses. And he was encouraging people to start thinking about really getting into small businesses and also, you know, hotels, restaurants, and for those individuals who live here on the Navajo Reservation are familiar with the Fort Defiance area, they know that there's no hotels out there. If people come for these games, and they're going to take full advantage of that huge sports center to host tournaments. And you're going to need places for people to lodge. You're going to need places for people to eat, go shopping. And it's a nice opportunity, and I know that's something that you talk about, Cal.
Yeah. So this is Pearson Zaw. This is coming from him. Is that what you're saying also?
Yeah, he was encouraging the people that they need center as a facility that would be used for tournaments, basketball and wrestling and any of the other sports that the high school is involved in. But to, you know, the community itself, he encouraged them to, you know, to think about it as also a way to build their community.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible. You know, like when I was all these years, you know, that I know the Navajo Nation government has its own, most government, they all have their roles. They facilitate, they help, and, you know, it does have a role to play. However, the investment of that government ought to go into the Navajo people. And through that, I think that there's going to be development. And I think that, you know, the vision is continuing to happen, And I'm absolutely excited to hear that, the gentleman that we absolutely respect, and that's Mr. Pearson Zaw, and, you know, our former leaders, you know, that they're beginning to pick up on this and really begin to tell the people that the time has come when we ought to be thinking about being employer-minded as opposed to being employee. So that's really good to hear. So, anything else on that, Marley?
Yeah. Well, you know, I completely understand what you're talking about, Cal, and it goes hand in hand with the Navajo teachings that we have, which is that everything that is between the four sacred mountains here on our homeland, whatever we need, it is here, that we don't need to go to the outside in that sense that, you know, it's us. We can become independent. We can become economically self-sufficient. And we were that way. We took care of ourselves. But we helped each other, and that's where the Navajo Nation government, and I remember last week you were talking about how the government has taken over business, and it takes away from the small businesses because they're able to use huge capital, and it's unfair because small businesses cannot compete against these huge companies.
Yeah, exactly.
And so... When Mr. Zong said that, I thought, you know, that was, and the people applauded. I mean, there was a lot of people there. And Vice President Rex Lee Jim was there, so I hope he, you know, takes that message back to President Shelley. And also Council Delegate Roscoe Smith was there, and this is his area, and I hope he takes that to the council and lets them know that the next time they're going to fund a company, a corporation for $500 million that, you know, he says, hey, if you can, you know, toss that kind of money around, then, you know, hey, about what, you know, let's help some of our Navajo small businesses. And I think that, you know, people don't understand that small businesses are really where you can help a community stabilize because on the reservation, we're here. This is our homeland. We're not going anywhere else. So we're going to build a business. We're going to take care of it. We're going to hire, you know, qualified people or from the community that need these jobs. And there's a, you know, always a huge need. And and just, you know, trying to hire 500 people all at once, that's not the only solution. That's not the only solution.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what's, that is so, you know, I mean, you're so very on, and I think that, you know, what's impressive to me about what you're saying is this, is that, well, I mean, you have been working, you work with the Navajo, Navajo Times for about, what, 27 years or 30 years, for a long time. And so on the Navajo Nation, the variety of the print media as well as the radio media, in order to have it really a competitive atmosphere, to be able to, you know, because there's qualified people like you, there's several others, you know, we have people that I've known, Mark Trahan, we've got people down from Phoenix area, Mr. Lauren Tapahi, and the list can go on. There's a new print newspaper that's on called the Navajo Post, and so now you've got your own media outlet, and now you were on site. You were actually there providing, you are giving information out for not only the Navajo people, but also to national and possibly international news media that can purchase your story. So you're really, in essence, is you're really living this dream right now, and I absolutely, wholeheartedly advise all listeners out there, you know, she has, you know, she's working for us on our behalf, and I think just in turn to be able to send some, you know, some donations or sponsorship money, I'm sure she can probably throw your logo, your company logo on her website, and that way, now we're building. It'd be nice to have a conglomeration of Navajo businesses working with Navajo businesses. And you're right, and you hit it absolutely on the button. And rather than the Navajo Nation operating and running and thinking that they have the fiduciary responsibility to start business, they have to take that money and invest in whatever amount. It don't have to be too big. And I've had Navajo Nation leadership say to us, hey, CalNez and the rest of you business people, you know, there's certain things that have happened. And like one council delegate to me, he says, well, we had a chapter house that was leaking, so we hired Navajo, and we gave an X amount of money. And after he was done, well, supposedly he was done, he basically took off the money, and the roof was still leaking. Because of that, we don't really trust you guys. Well, you know what? I said to him, I said, well, that's unfortunate. But off the Navajo Nation up here, the banks stay out, go out there, and they lend money to people. And but do you think that stops them with one default? No. That's their business, and they keep going after it. They keep investing in people. It doesn't happen. How many times do you see on an annual report that they have lost money? Well, same thing should happen. Not to say that that's what should be the catalyst, but looking at the positive side, there's some good things. Yeah, certainly there's negative, but there's also some positive things. So, you know, I'm so glad that you're saying that, Marlene. Good to hear that you're reporting that the former president or chairman, Peterson Zaw, is saying that, so that's wonderful. So, and then also on the other one is that you're talking about is the, if you can give us an update on the speaker, what's going on with the speaker?
Well, the Navajo Council's top committee is going to be meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m., and that top committee consists of all of the council delegates, and they call that committee the Navakiyatit Committee, which means that it's the committee that has full discussion, and there's supposed to be consensus. And there's also, I would say when they created this committee, and I have tape recordings, and so if a council delegate pops up and says, oh, no, that's not true, Marley doesn't remember right, I can point to the recordings. That committee is supposed to involve the voices of the people. And tomorrow it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to read into the record the number of comments that were made by the people regarding proposed legislation for the council to remove Speaker Johnny Nays because he has lost his good standing based on Navajo law because of criminal charges that he's facing that were filed by the special prosecutor. And I understand that a person is innocent until found guilty, but we're talking about a position of leadership. This individual is equal to the Navajo Nation Supreme Court Chief Justice, the Navajo Nation President. We have a three-branch government, and they're each headed by a branch chief. And the branch chief for the legislative branch is Speaker Nays. And he signed numerous documents. When that lease was signed for Navajo Generating Station, his signature was there, along with the president. And he represents the council. And so I was also there when they talked about even creating the speaker position. And they went through a whole list of what they wanted from a leadership. They put down what they wanted for their speaker to have. And I also remember that at the same time the council was setting up, this was the 88, when they were setting up that speaker's position, they had just finished also defining what Ms. Navajo's qualifications would be. And let me tell you, qualifications and standards that they set for Ms. Navajo are much higher than they set for their speaker. And that's pretty sad. But anyway, the legislation tomorrow, there's also another legislation that will go before the Nabakiyante Committee, and that deals with naming a replacement for Speaker Nays. And this removal of Speaker Nays, removal of Johnny Nays as Speaker, does not remove him from the council. He'll still sit on the council. But you're also finding there's more and more communities out there that are passing legislation asking Navajo Nation Attorney General Harrison Soucy to issue a legal opinion on whether or not sitting council delegates should step down also. And those sitting they're talking about the sitting council delegates that also are facing similar charges dealing with
how many of the current 24 are, if that were the case, how many of those 24 are facing charges?
I know of Council Delegate David Tom. He is facing similar serious criminal charges regarding the discretionary fund. And that's the issue. We've had the Farmington Daily Times, the editor from the Farmington Daily Times wrote an editorial talking about how could the Navajo leadership allow one of their top leaders to remain in office over allegations regarding the misuse of funds that were specifically for the most needy, you know, elders needing firewood during the winter, children needing coats, warm coats during the winter. I saw some of those letters from individual Navajo families asking these council delegates for assistance. But yet you have allegations against the speaker saying that he, you know, put that money into his pocket. And that's what he needs to clear that up, you know, and before, you know, continuing on, because you're getting more and more public attention the more he stays in there.
So right now we have David Tom.
You have Council Delegate David Tom. And he's the only one that I know of for sure. There are several of them that are still facing civil charges regarding the misuse of the discretionary funds. And then there are also some who had their civil charges dismissed, but now they're going to be going into, they're going to have ethics complaints filed against them. And the ethics and government law deals with specifically the conduct of an elected official. and talking about standards.
Yeah. And, well, you know, having said that, I guess one of the questions that I have is also that, I'm not suggesting anything here. I'm just questioning like everybody else, okay? We have a situation. We have, like you said, there's three branch government. There's the lead person in each of the branches. Now, there are certain standards that we're working with, and so I understand, and I think you've outlined pretty much what that's going to be, or what that is, what the expectation is. And comparatively speaking, you've also put in the role of Miss Navajo, and so Miss. But nonetheless, so let's say if Johnny Nays, I mean, his role is, I mean, they're asking him to step down. And if others are also, quote, charged, or whether it's just whatever their legal issues are, okay, those are ongoing. So now the next question that comes in is this, and that is, what about the ones who have taken the plea deal? What is that? How does that play into this? What's your perception?
You know, that's interesting, because it goes back to the customer that you talked about who had his roof fixed on by a business, and he paid for the work and he was not satisfied with it. The roof was still leaking. And so he said, you know, I'm not going to use that business again. And it put a black mark on all Navajo-owned businesses. And so you have to apply that same type of thinking to what is happening with our Navajo Nation government. There's not this full faith and trust in our government. And you see it with a lack of participation by individuals at the local government level, chapters. I was just talking with an individual who had gone out to one of the chapters and wanted to help on a tourism project. And they couldn't get a quorum, and they had to go out and call people and tell them, please come to the chapter meeting. And I've gone, some of them wanted to be at 16 and 7 for an entire community, instead of asking, why are people not involved in the government? And this is happening. And is that a reflection of what's happening with the criminal charges, the allegations? So people need to think about what is going on.
Exactly. Well, Marley, I really appreciate you giving us an update. And you're right. You bring up some very, very pressing questions that I think that people ought to be thinking about. And I think that, excuse me, you are basically, I mean, you're right there in the heart of this. And I think that you're hearing a lot of the what the general feelings of the people are. So, and excuse me, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And anything else, Marley? And how do people get in touch with you?
Oh, okay. Well, people can, I'm social media. I do YouTube videos of what I'm, tonight I'm going to be working on that. And so you'll be able to see the grand opening of the sports center. And so you can Google my name, Marley Shabala. And also my company name, I'm going to announce it here on your program.
Okay.
I was, my company was called Dinette Resources and Information Center, and people were like, Dinette Resources Information, you know. And it was and then a friend of mine said, you know what, Marley, people know you, they know your name. She said, you know, you should call it Marley Shabala's Notebook. And I thought, that'll be much easier. No?
Oh, that's
beautiful. So my business is Marley Shabala's Notebook, so Google my name, you'll get the information. And also, before I leave, last week, Bill Donovan made a big deal out of saying that we used to have this radio show and that he never agreed with me. Thank goodness Bill Donovan never agreed with me. Good night. Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you very much, Marty. We'll talk to you next week. And again, Marty Shabala, thank you very much for a wonderful person. I appreciate her her input, and looking forward to hearing from her. And she brings a lot of good information to us. And so, again, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. Tonight's main topic, we're going to be talking about the fundamental law of the Diné. And we have Mr. Henry Barber calling in from the Navajo Nation. And we will get to him right after we have this little short break. And, again, I am just absolutely grateful that you're listening to us, wherever you're at. Jonah Bushin kicking the house. Ah, no, God, if she throws cat, not get the shooting dog.
My name is Cody, and you are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, hosted by Cal Mez.
Salt Lake City. Because of these information, a lot of the stuff that we're doing here, you know, what's distance anymore? Cell phone has brought us a lot closer together. And this evening we have a topic that we outline on the Navajo Nation, on the Politics on the Navajo Nation Facebook. Tonight's topic is going to be the fundamental laws of the Net. This evening I'd like to welcome Shishna Ash, Mr. Henry Barber. Yate.
Oh, yate. Can you hear me?
Oh, you're online right now.
Okay, Hakoshila. Yeah. Good evening. How you doing, Chilan Ash?
Pretty good. Yeah. So thanks for calling in.
Area. Right between Gallup and Zuni.
If we get a drop, we see that one is in now, isn't it? John Hicheta on easy though, I guess in another don and lean it all. I thought the listeners, they did on the Hashins on the internet and the Washington DC. I thought the Hashness, the easy spot on North Florida up there in Canada. So they say, up there in the military over in the overseas. I don't know if she's not a ship. Kureti Haneshi, Hashin Zai was seen. You know, that's not a ship. Okay, Lana.
Oh, okay. Hakoshi. Oh, my name is Henry Barber. Although I do have a traditional name, Asati be Edhausen. And then I am the Red House Clan, Kinsichini. The Bluebird Clan of a mixture of a Hopi and a Navajo. My father's side. And then my maternal grandfather, he's a South Clan, a Shinhi. Grandfather, not quite the nomad people. I am from Tosato. It's a very small community within the northeastern Navajo Nation. Southwestern New Mexico, close to Four Corners area. It's one of the 110 chapters across the Navajo Nation. Ado inasha oho galianti tosatoholie e hote. Ado right now I'm residing south of Gallup. E hote la.
Fundamental law with Yao. So a hatalia do kadehulu a aro a Navajo Nation to be his army. So a decree was he at Kidana Lanahatno, Jordan the Washington federal government. So I don't know that Hudlo. State is not on the whole New Mexico, Arizona, Aro Jadid and Hin Navajo Nation, Craig and Nazi, the Hinazi, the Snow, fundamental law,
we're going to sit here at midnight after midnight and tomorrow night also. Okay. Well, fundamental laws. Chairman of the Navajo Nation, Nare 1982 Yadan. When he took office back in 1982, one of the his priority was to establish Navajo Nation Supreme Court. On that basis, he appointed Judge Herman Alejaleta Blue House.
Homer Blue House.
Homer Blue House. Oh, I don't judge Tom So. I don't Raymond Austin. Those were the associate Supreme Court judges. So what that is, Supreme Court establishment, same their first step was to study the Navajo Peacemaker Court and its procedure. Procedures of that Peacemaker Court that is, I guess, that's one of a kind in the nation, not just the Navajo Nation, but the United States. That Peacemaker Court, it has to be conducted more of on the traditional basics. Doing what we call today the fundamental laws. So these judges, they studied that, and they came up with the procedures. And then later on, the Peacemaker Court was established. The usages of the net fundamental law, the net law, the traditional, at that time, they were not codified in the Navajo tribal laws. There's a set of the 26 titles. They're more on the oral basis. The regular court system, Western court system, coincided with that. Seemed like it worked real good. From there, he directed to have a research or studies of the net laws. They were looking at one area, the Navajo court system. They were just pinpointing to that one compartment of the Navajo Nation government. And then on the other hand, they also looked at the Navajo Nation Title II, and that's the guideline for the Navajo Nation Council. So when you do that, you know, you're working on the fundamental laws, it's kind of hard to exactly pinpoint where to begin. Because there's a lot of different connection to this area of the laws. So that other hoshten, and then the during the election, he lost the election to his second term. Until 1999, 2002, That was one of the major directives under the speaker of TBK, the speaker of the Navajo Nation Council. Pretty much he picked it up as his project to study the at the time he called it identified it as the common laws. The common laws, I guess, basically is easier to understand by other tribes and other races, even in the common law don't need. But there was a young man working in to do the research on that. On the basis why he want to have the study is the court system has been practicing the net law just with the uncodified translated yada, it's not written. And then the stage of the Navajo Nation Council, the legislature, like you mentioned a little while ago, that the Navajo Nation government is basically set on the state and the federal form of government. There's a lot, after the Treaty of 1868, early 1900, that's when the Bureau of Indian Affairs under the federal government have assisted the Navajo Nation to establish a Navajo government. They did establish the grandfather of the Navajo Nation government. That's the Title II. Out of from there, different legislations were developed. More likely, the federal, through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, they were very much in control of the legislating of the Navajo Nation Council. Navajo Tribal Council, it was recognized that way. This new form of government was pretty much puzzled to our traditional leaders. At that time, I guess our leaders were not that educated westernly. From there, in the there has been a lot of studies that has been approved. Majorly, the reason why the Navajo Nation government was developed is to have the studies on the natural resources, oil and gas, back in those days. At the point, we were told that the Navajo Tribal Council were to approve willingly to have these studies made on the Navajo Nation. So up to about 1950, around there, other minerals been discovered. Uranium, the coal mining, all those, at that time, when the Navajo Tribal Council approved these the mineral resources, the natural resources, I guess the health-wise was really never been considered. And just the motivation was to earn that money into thousands of dollars. That was the key point of mainly approving these legislation on these natural resources. Although that there, I guess there were really never any studies, or the Navajo, the members of the tribal council never did really question if they were hazardous or to have any kind of harms. It's even not bad at Asians until into the 1960s. I didn't know how you might have the cancers that agia. Although these are unforeseen sicknesses, we lost a lot of people from cancer. The different form of cancers, from the radioactives, radiation. These are hazardous chemicals. So a lot of that. Coal mining, Asian Itan Kerr McGee and Anadarko and Tronex Dash. Asian Adayan Dashnish. So when one of the company went bankruptcy, there was a lawsuit. So they kind of broke them apart, and some of them, they just left the mine, and they just took whatever they was supposed to be used in the nuclear sites that the weapons that she was in. So all these abandoned mines, all these hazardous materials were left behind, and although in the some of the studies were made to the fundamental laws were never considered. The fundamental laws, let's have some researchers. In 1999, the Speaker of the Navajo Nation Council, back in 1989, that's when we kind of got in a situation of the...
I can hear you. Are you there? Hello? It looks like I'm going to have to call back in. I'm not sure what happened to the internet, but we're having some technical issues. And I apologize. If you can hear me out there, please, I will give you a call, or I'll call back in. And let's get reconnected. I believe Mr. Henry Barber is still also on the phone with us. And I am not sure what happened here. So I'll let me call right back in. Hello, this is Cal Nez again. I hope, I just called back in. I hope that... I'm not sure what happened exactly there, but we have a caller, and we lost Mr. Henry Barber, and I'd like to have him call back in if he can. And I have a caller in the meantime. Who am I talking with? Hello? Okay. I guess this person I can hear in the background. I'm not sure who's calling, but I'm going to try to get Mr. Henry Barber back on the phone. And we have another caller that who's calling in as well. Hello, caller. Do you have a comment, question? Can you introduce yourself? Hello, caller. Can you hear me? I've got another caller that I'm going to try to bring. I'm going to try to bring everybody on right now. So until Mr. Henry Barber calls in, anybody out there who want to introduce themselves? Hello. I can hear you, everybody. Okay.
Hey, Kel.
Extraterrestrial.
I heard you.
Hello, Mr. Barber. I don't know what happened there with the internet, but I apologize, and it looks like you're back with us.
Hello, Ken.
I lost connection. Yeah, oh, yate, Mr. Barber. And all the listeners, thank you. I apologize for what happened. I don't know. There was something wrong with the internet, that so I apologize, and so welcome back, and Mr. Barber,
I don't know how far I was at.
We were at the part where about the uranium mine. There's these laws, which
I guess at that time the never been has any the fundamental laws were really not considered. To see if these radioactive materials or that these hazardous chemical that will come to bring the unforeseen illness of that agia probably the 60s though, after 1960s, it seems like there are people in Qatar a lot of cancer, all kind of cancers. That egi though in that the kuigoshin ohayi atahas, including from other minerals of that egi like oil and coal. The breathing, respiration, so that agia, the dizziness spell and headaches and the nevergina hoti, brought the harm to the land and the water, doing that the air, the nevergina hoti salim, you know, we lost a lot of people. On account of these kind of action, that ineffective legislation without the careful studies of that egi, even nashavo in that the hajoben dol kacho dahto ni the koho 1999 had down. The speaker of the Navajo Nation Council at TVK.
Hello.
Are we there?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yeah.
They are the age, the state and the federal form of government. Ajig Navajo Nation Ye Lewis. A coco way back our elders they weren't westernly educated. All these legislations they were fully aware of. A call been massacred. Oh, he isn't. Oh, over to that is clay. And then up to 1970, that there's a lot of changes in our government that has taken place. A call by 1989, we have a turmoil in Windorup. Sada has leaned on account of the chairmanship. Having a lot of power at that time, the chairman used to recite the council meeting, the council session. He has the advisory committee, 18 members, the budget and finance committee, and certain committees that was his appointees. So that's how he very much controlled. The chairman. The chairmanship was unseated, including the vice chairman. One of the council delegates, Leonard Heskey from San Austin, he was then chosen the interim chairman or president. Back in 1989, the title too was revised. That's when they formed the three branch government, the legislative, the judicial branch, and the executive branch. Are we still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay? Yeah.
Ayod about Yahoshli. A coco. A ado in that a committee da jon nadasmel. A ado a seems like the aim that the separation of powers, three compartment, ado the balanced government. No. Hashinza se yat eo ni luat. He came back and he became the president. Marley was talking about the education, and he have pushed the Navajo Nation or the net education policy. Our Navajo Nation government that the Navajo language and culture studies in education be salado da dotni. So
are you there? Mr. Barber, I think we lost Mr. Barber on the cell phone. In the meantime, I am going to introduce the next guest, calling all the way from downtown Window Rock. Mr. Bill Donovan.
Thank you, Cal. This is Bill Donovan with the newsflash for the Navajo Reservation. If you have been around for a long time, as I have been, you have heard the phrase, the power of the Navajo voter, a lot. It was first said back in the 1970s by then-Chairman Peter McDonald as he urged Navajos to vote Democratic in the state and federal elections. Since then, Navajo leaders have urged tribal members to go out and vote, and quietly, they have also preached the gospel of voting in a block in off-reservation elections. And this has worked. And you can see this in New Mexico, where a Navajo has been elected for the past 12 years for the District 4 seat on the Public Regulation Commission. A lot of Navajos live in that District 4. It includes all the Eastern Navajo Agency, but it also includes a lot of non-Navajos. In fact, only about 40% of the population in that district is Navajo. And Navajo power has been able each time to elect people like Linda Lovejoy and Carol Sloan to that position. What has helped put a Navajo in there has been the fact that few people in the state know what the Public Regulatory Commission is or who is running. But it is a popular position because it pays more than $90,000 a year and has some authority over utility rates in the state. Navajo dominance in that position may be threatened, however, this year, as within the past 2 weeks, two Navajo women with strong political bases in Navajo land have announced that they are running for the position in the Democratic primary in June. Lovejoy, who has gained a lot of recognition after running for tribal president in the last two tribal elections, has announced she wants her position back. Teresa Vicente Aguilar, who was appointed to that position after Carol Sloan was removed in 2010, also says she wants that position. Two strong Navajo candidates, both of which have a strong political base on the Navajo reservation. Since the Democrats outnumber the Republicans in that district 5-1, whoever wins the Democratic primary will win the general election. The fear, however, is that a non-Navajo who has some level of recognition in that district will also run, which will bring up the scenario of the two strong Navajo candidates dividing the Navajo vote, allowing the non-Navajo to score an easy victory in the primary. This has happened many, many times in the past in predominantly Navajo districts. Two or three Navajos split the vote, allowing the non-Navajo to win. The big question then that a lot of people are wondering is it going to happen again in the PRC race this coming June? We just have to wait and find out and see what happens. This is Bill Donovan with a newsflash from the Navajo Reservation.
And you are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, hosted by Cal Meadows.
You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. Telephone number here is 347-989-0048. About 50 minutes, 50 is how many minutes that we have left. In the show, and this evening we are talking with the fundamental law of the Diné, and we have Mr. Henry Barber with the Diné Medicine Man Association. And he's with us, and he's talking about the fundamental law of the Diné. And if we can just kind of speed up things a little bit, times are going to run up. It's going to run out very quickly here on us, and we got callers. They're going to be calling in. Of course, the fundamental law. We might lose him again because he's calling in on a cell phone. So, listeners, please bear with us. And so, government developed the Ishinat of an Yendahas Nilia.
Oh. Hello?
You're on air again.
Nagaita, 1989. Ita Adahustan, a government development. No. A established Ilia. And they were supposed to work close with the local people, the grassroots people. But the legislation or the structure of the Navajo Nation government, the Kuishin recommend that, but that was never really been met. Recently, the government development was then changed. They put it within the Navajo Nation Council under the legislative. So, yet, but the people can call in to have the people educated on the net government and all this, the fundamental laws. The people have to work with their own immediate council delegate at their chapters. He called me in to help him out. The first step was to educate our council delegate because they are more westernerly educated. Some have the higher degree, college degree, university, some have bachelor degree, master degree, and so forth. They have kind of gotten away from the traditional basics of what a nation is, the ne, ni, tle, a nation within a nation, di, ni, go, adigi. In order to educate these peoples, and then I went out to different medicine people, the medicine people, they have all these holdings, the narratives or story, in lay from the ancient time, the oral and holistic, the ancient Navajo traditional philosophy of theology. Now that's what is an otlasalagi. We set up two orientation. I went home, and later on he called me back again. The young man that was assigned to do that mainly. He had resigned, and then the job was open, and then I applied for that position due to my interest of the fundamental laws and my acquaintance with the traditional basics and the medicine people. if was that mm-hmm. was that in the background. And then I myself was involved in a political field with the Navajo Nation, community level. I serve on a lot of committee, education, health, road, and so forth. And then the chapter officials. I was the secretary treasurer, and I became the vice president. And back in 1989, when Leonard Haskey, our council delegate from San Austin, became interim president in the council chamber, the seat was empty. So I was moved up to the as a council delegate. And I serve on the ethics committee. And then the next 4 years, I ran for that office, and I serve on the education committee. I have a certain degree of understanding about the Navajo Nation government. The elders, they're not familiar with the modern government. How it relates to the laws, they don't have the clear knowledge to translate it into the laws. So that's where I came in. I was assigned to do the research late 1999 to 2002. Yeah, I'm still online. Can you hear me? Oh, Adi, cool. The way I went about it is the people kind of look at the title too, just that part of the laws. The Navajo Nation Code, but on how long the judicial branch of that Egita, and I knew that basically you had to come down to the foundation of the net fundamental laws, the basic, so the sheikhaid ochade itiki, where is it coming from? I identified four basics. Those are the four basic laws holistically. At that time, the present Chief Justice Herb Yazzie, he was our legislative counsel, a legislative branch, and then we started working on it. Between the three of us, that we kind of studied exactly down to the basic. So separately, if somebody asks us a question, then we would explain in the same line, each in the same line, the interpretation has to be right. We came down to the four basic. It's only about maybe 7 pages. And I did came up with a booklet, the Navajo Nation Record. The department has that. And then we set up an orientation in 2002. Then we presented to the Navajo Nation Council November 8, 2002. The Speaker of the Council presented the Tribal Council adopted that for the first time in the Navajo history. We established accepted the fundamental law, the Nebuchadnezzar's army. The basic of all the laws. Coming back to the basic. The court system. The three branch government, the judicial branch of their establishment of a judicial branch, the introductory, why we have and the purpose that we have the judicial branch, the court system. The judges that the chief justice and the two associate judges, chief justice procedures, the court sessions that how you the render judgments that through the judge's experience of that, the knowledge that they have, recently, the judicial branch under Judge Yazzie's administration, they begin to research and compiling all these policies from the traditional fundamental laws perspective. We went about halfway. I've been assisting them too. There were several traditional people, the medicine people that we have not really got back to that yet, up to now. Since it was approved the same month in November 13, that's when Kelsey ABK was the Navajo Nation president. He blessed the fundamental laws. That's the background of the fundamental laws. Even though we had a problem with the telephone communication, I have taken you this far.
I hope you don't mind. Do you mind taking a caller?
The history of how the fundamental law was developed. The basic, what's in the fundamental law,
a caller calling in from, it looks like Arizona. Caller, are you there? Do you have a question? And if you do, please identify yourself and where are you calling from? You're here with Mr. Henry Barber, 928-380. Hello, Yate. I am not sure why. Yeah, I can't hear them. I can hear them. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just wanted to listen. I wanted to. I've been reading about the fundamental laws and the peacemaking program. Secretary Treasurer, the part that I was interested is in the development of the fundamental law. eyaharne ako lede eyas kota init ano. So today, this evening, e oisin fa ako o at kadunda sa biga salino and good to be on the radio. I'm listening to your interest on these. Eben ya isin fa.
Oh,
Father, gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no.
Yes, sir.
My name is Brad. How are you?
Yes, we're listening.
Oh, White Cones, Navajo Reservations. They. Holbrook beat up the Ado Francis Lester Ewan Schiff Ado Nanest Ezna Tantanet Tachini Eya Dasamado Tachini Akia Ani Dasze Totachini Eta Sitche Dot Hapahan Dasanale.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Barber, what do you, what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, to cut in later, it's the background, how the fundamental law has been codified. The title, Title 1 under the general provision, when the AB Sala, they kind of just keep it on the back burner. It only based on and leaving net the other pistol was the modern governmental system. Like I said, the state and the federal government is pretty much it relates to a lot as the nation, as what is a nation, ba ko hin tsan do le jo hot egi e hat ishe or ye a nation jo hot e ko a ko e de hot a ko ko at the time the ne fundamental law e adopted liado e 2003 in February in the international laws when ye kin da il da hin United Nations le Switzerland. Ita e TV Gata kono ta sana ta ko kashi. Kono sana ka ad. E ya they have worked on the international laws ya. The United Nations declaration on the rights of the indigenous peoples. The Navajo Nation had some degree of input based on this fundamental law. The 2003 in February, to my understanding, it was read into the record at the United Nations Conference, Geneva Conference. About 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago, the Navajo Nation Council tried to withdraw, delete this fundamental law out of Navajo Nation codes due to their feeling was that this plays a lot of conflict to their responsibility or their legislative activities to that ANDC, but although it causes us to conflict the nigo, They asked me what I felt about what the council were trying to do. I said, I kind of appreciate that. the fundamental law, it holds our recognition as a nation, our basic etanenit leharishin hanilia, the government belongs to the people. Ado in the Benahazani, the laws belong to the people. Ado in the Nahatah, the proceeding of the plannings, Nahatah, legislating, that belong to the people. Ado in the Yahae, the purpose of these laws, as the nation, the Nehbikeya, Zifchetnaznil, we have these sacred mountains that secretly identifies our traditional sense, time immemorial. The Tata Dabo on Sataha Kostan be your Kartan. Ben has only done the Nashi, the immutable laws. That's what we have. Bikel in Hikaya. Ado in the Danike in Nagi, our spiritual belief foundation. That is one of the, along with your cultural. Though in the how you are connected to the land, your natural heritage, at the whole 9 yards, that makes you a nation. Are we still there?
So.
That provides us, that gives us the inherited rights. It's our fundamental freedom to be recognized by any laws, any nations around the world, even now, this Navajo Nation government belongs to us, the laws belong to us, on top of all that, not only the legislators, the leaders, they belong to the people. So the whole works belong to the people. The fundamental law, it's already in place. It has the greater connection with our sovereign nation. They can go home because that government has been given back to us. And then we can revise this government. We can select our new leaders that will respect us as a nation, that will truly respect their trust responsibilities. ADGA to be actually serving in the ultimate interest of the people. Took it to court, a Supreme Court Navajo Nation. It's not made by the Neh. It's not made by the human. That's why we still have the fundamental law. that is still in the general provision under the Title One. It at the best it all a user chung inka what a bit and any itle a what
yeah a co jutti to cade jutti shield Ada ni kutajun le kutu state government at the nido federal government auto on hin Navajo Nation government of the gun kitchen on no a khatta a ko di shes on the sha ash with o jon his what a queen a ko chuk kudo kudoi variation a go a di de jo a ko di on hin hinan atan lini basement of on ero taut on the tot not the chapter house of Ado so Ado thou on his president, Ado thou about the Taha and Liza Nahaz, Tani judge the Shneen. Ako, the law, fundamental law, ni Ado Hushan. Ako, do it, I, you fit, this is it, mini it, oh. Do it, I, he kate me, Rasa. Ako, ten, ha, Lord, Asha, what, Eshla, Ash, Ako, Aden oi fit o Craig.
Oh yeah, can you hear me?
Oh.
Chati e chokhanne ya. Khadeshin tahanne. E yahai e khadeshin khatten hol ye de jo ade itigin hazlin jo ne. Jo e hot ego bahane is ti fi ben nach ko e di sti de kat not ani tan leneki jo hat e da hat ni ri at the federal government have the trust responsibility. One is that they provide the education, and what was the basic purpose of that education? E di ki e Nihizadigishin sao adorinis. E ado indata e our traditional self-determination. E digi e yahai e ado indata what we hold on to. Traditional properties. Ke yadohodes ago. Chuti e betanjin. E honikit adorinis. To be assimilated.
Well, I'm on the phone with the politics.
Oh, come on.
So I'm waiting. I'm just waiting.
Hello?
I've got some. I put a caller on, but they're talking. So go ahead. I can hear you.
Oh.
Keep talking. Yeah.
Oh. A koko. To be a hodat. A Washington, the United States Constitution. Different tribes, the Arikos, the seven civilized tribes. That's their constitution. In the history, Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, study that he la jo no hahanne. We the people, for the people, by the people. To evik aho e yaha e e di nahat agi khat u khat atil ya. Ado in datta e like a United Nation, how they recognize as a nation. E ade go e yaha e nation define ich inigi tau a state. Jana. Like United States is a state. A koho within that state. ADA America, United States, united ahi has so different nations ahi hit nil. ADC, the 50 states. their natural resources, it's not a decay. It's a land of opportunities, no, it's not a husky. It's not a husky. It's not a husky. It's not a husky. Like, for example, you go to DNA, in that Hokan, Ebiyona, the office of the laws, the lawyers. In that conference room that you had to go, you look at the walls, only from the entrance all the way around, their shelf of books, the laws, from the floor to the ceiling. It is like that. We have a connection with the Mother Earth. From our past and our future. I consider it as we are in some kind of a container. We're containerized. Where this container that stands between us and our fundamental laws. This container is the outside laws. The way I look at the internet, the national laws, the federal laws does not fully protect the indigenous people when it comes down to our spiritual belief foundation and all these sacred places. Under the Department of War, we were conquered. But after the treaty, we were placed under the Department of Interior with the wildlife. That's why we're still at. Are we still there?
Yeah. I'm going to put you, hold that thought. I've got some things that I need to broadcast here real quickly. After this, he's not reading that only.
Okay, Yad A, Shea, Clara, Pratt, and Chia, thank you for listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, the world voice on Navajo politics. My name is Clara Pratt, and I'm the Executive Director of the Navajo Nation Washington, D.C. office. Did you know that you have a Washington, D.C. office here representing your interests in the nation's capital? This week, we have been working very, very closely on different pieces of legislation that affect housing, budget, transportation, and all sorts of manner of things that affect the Navajo Nation and your day-to-day life. I look forward to talking to you next Wednesday on Politics on the Navajo Nation, the world voice on Navajo politics with Calnez. Thank you.
Politics on the Navajo Nation. The voice of Navajo politics. Navajo politics. Navajo politics. Navajo politics.
Okay, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. This is Cal Nez. And next week, we are going to have the Washington office, Ms. Clara Pratt. She is the executive director there, and she will be with us next week. So tune in for that. And J.D. Kelmazin, Shiet on the Salt Lake City, then Ako is in a shadow a Tosset Doden, so Ako Diva Shishna, Mr. Henry Barber is with us this evening. Ako Dida, Fundamental Law, no, a Joy Banet. Ako, to qui about 15 minutes, let's see. Ako Shishna, Ako Dida. The last 15 minutes, according to fundamental laws, no. From what I'm understanding, Nikodoni Sin Sound, A did on Hinnit on Hidden Nenny Gleeny, to A D E A on lay that before the white man came, to A R A D Nahat Asa Lai, Hashid Ohanet, Sanity. On a federal level. Edo Dagot An Hin Hin Navajo Nation, An Hin Hi Keyahi, Ahut Ol, the Nation Nitaho. Ako Hedi E. Ayisa Law, John Hiti Fundamental Law, Bedeen, Ado State Law, Dot Nana, Ado Federal Law, Dot Nana, Ako E. Hide E. Adi. The fundamental law
I don't really see the destiny into the future. I could end. Oh. Should the lay hardship eating in Hardy Lagia? Tigin has legion and had them all gate. Ado e has lead o des gul. Dead open us a lata. E ade e sata tigini. Jaishin attic ne itzas an arabic horizon sad. Keol yehegi. Jaita da lanza shibe his own ite. Aten teen to. Neol do tatatin. The light, the water, the wind, and the pollen. Pollen means dust. To see what's out there in the Salada. To have a reflection, something has to, it takes the water to have a reflection. Nothing out there. Nothing is moving out there. You see the image. But these became the fundamental elements. Evikaho ea diginal deto leh, that the domicile of the spirit holy people, ea kahati la. In nahulundo leh, sahulundo leh, ehto, ea digin the net, the spirit holy people, ea he created them. Ea shing ahat nihat angels, ahat nihaya. Ea dibikaho ea adeh, tahotez leki, evikaho ea adeh, they came to the stage of the great covenant, johnia. These the sacred elements, the fire, the water, the air, and the earth. Our father, dark sky, and then Himana Hassan, the mother earth, six cardinal directions of the utmost values of life. So the hat is in the agade at the late data elini, but hat a hotet
Every growth of vegetation and every walks of life. A diki is the life. A benasha a our ancient grandmother, the first woman. A our ancient grandfather, the first man. To a she bihilia with their intelligence. In zonagoshi atelia. A debi kahu a hinadun sekesto leh. A ya e hat ishi yenes edo leh. To a not tin oho a kitty tin. Ado you have a question. If you cite something before you, then you have a question. What is that? Then your next step is you make the plan. Hey, I'm going to study that. I'm going to take a look. The teaching. Ado the planning, nazla, the male and the female, the circle of life, the continuance. The circle of life, the cycle of life. Be ano sef even ye behes ani ate. E digi bikahu e hamado haje ahos e. Hama betsada hojilon. Your mother and father creates you. You are in your mother's womb for 9 months to what achi. Ado you cry out. E you are hurt. By holy people from all direction, all cardinal direction. There's a new life. The process of growth, what you learn, your language, and you become a human being, you become a man or a woman. The creation in that accordance. Everything has to be in order. We are a nation. Then any itle, nikhaot elzen, nikhi neyachol, nikhi nahata anosel, edigin betzade behez ani. Akunne yahe all these teaching from the great spirit. Ede betzade edigin the spirit, holy people, the angels, they translate. The education. Self-knowledge and the realization of what's all around you, what is the sole purpose. The natural laws, the nature of the universe and the earth, the water. All these elements, the fire, the water, the air, and the earth, that's what we are. Do betzado inal in, so that oh huge nahol ye, so that oh so that how kosher bechahot that epi yisalad o bekasalad atahonol men be inna. That's the necessities to our way of life. Respect. We have that fundamental, the elements. Our inherited rights and our freedom. Your profession, what you know, your connection to the outside world. Some lost their basics, conditions. We still have it. That what makes us unique. We have the equal right. In all prayers and in our songs, traditionally, the sacred protocols of the ceremony. Before any foreigners came to this nation, what we have in our possession is still the same toward and recognized by the holy people and Almighty. In that same equivalence, the international law, United Nations, the rights of indigenous people, outlines the same thing, that we are equal to any nation around the world. And the prophecies, the prophets, the medicine people, the mentors, the teachers, and the leaders, these are the basic four figures that has the knowledge in balance to maintain the welfare of the new way of life, the welfare of the natural world. If it's out of balance, one is out of control, then our nature reminds us. So, it all comes to the basic of respectability. If ill, the moral respect, that's the fundamental law. Under the treaty of 1868,
we have about 2 minutes left.
Responsibility of the federal government. So, to learn the ways of the outside. That does not mean that I define the assimilation two ways. One is to learn and bring it home and utilize it as our tool, as to be the most very valuable tools to improve our basics. The other one is to be assimilated. You are swallowed by the outside world. Then, seemingly, you're no longer an indigenous person. Then, just like the other day, the Martin Luther King said, No, he's people who were on the side of the fence with us because of how they were used and how they were treated.
Are you asking to watch any of these news right? Yeah, because now 1 minute has to be.
Oh, so what that? We kind of stand alone, but we want to be recognized by the federal government. Also in the colonialism, the commercialism, did all hajija e the kibes ani to chaos ina. We want the federal government to understand our basics, to be respected. I can't explain everything in just a few minutes. I hope this is a great value of the listeners.
Yeah. We appreciate it very much. I'm sure we'll have you back on, and we'd like to, just like you said, one segment. We will make that possible. So thank you very much. I appreciate it, and we'll see you guys next week.
My name is Curtis, and you are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, hosted by Cal Mez.
Cal Mez, we are no longer recording, but we're still on the air. And so I have four callers. I know that Mr. Barber, we basically ran out of time. I know you guys can all hear me right now, but we are not recording this segment. But do you guys have any questions? What's your thoughts on this? Anybody can jump in. There's several callers. I brought you guys on. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Now, this is my name is Darlene Martin. I wanted to ask Mr. Barber a question, but then it was good information. He was telling us all this information and stuff. Well, the issue that I had, I'm sure you've heard of the confluence with the resort and all that has been happening over there.
Yeah.
Okay, let me introduce myself. I'm Darlene Martin. So I'm from Gap Bottaway. Dwayne Sinarchini is my council delegate. So in the last several years, we've been going through the protecting the confluence situation over there, and the fundamental laws is one of them that it protects the sacred site. Okay, so and then the other one is the intergovernmental compact between the Navajo and the Hopis. So I wanted him to just kind of talk about that for a little bit. So last time that are you still there, Cal?
I can hear you. I think there's four callers on right now, live.
Oh, okay.
So anybody who has any expertise on this, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to let you guys know is that I've already confirmed and Mr. Barber said he's going to be back on several times. Of course, we're just barely touching the tip of the iceberg. So make sure that you have some of these questions available for him. Either you guys can send it to me or I can just present it to him. So, yeah.
I'm really just trying to figure this out because I just don't understand where the president and some of the council delegates, you know, they seem to not recognize the laws that are being made, especially like this one with the fundamental law. Where he says, the government, you know, it belongs to the people, Jumia. Of course, when this all started with the confluence, we had no idea that they were planning to do this. We were never informed as permit holders. So when she spared the husband that we just found out later on in the process, so we went back to our chapter and we passed resolutions after resolutions to protect that area. And we tried to tell the community or the chapter officials there and the council delegate that we are for economic development, but not this one, because the integrity of this person was not, there was none, actually. He overstepped all of the processes to come to where he was at, to where he was actually instigating this takeover, that wasn't right. Without the approval or the information of the people that lived in that area and the community, nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew. Only the chapter officials, the council delegates, and the presidency, the administration, the council delegates, I guess some of them actually knew. We went to the resource committee and we talked with them and we put it out all out there. We told them, we said, you know what, we don't want this. The reason why is because this person that's coming in is a Bilagona. He has he wants the money for himself. Okay, he's taken a whole portion of that money. But what about our community? Why does not the Navajo Nation protect the people that live there, that so that the funding goes directly to them for their, you know, to for rehabilitation or for homes or for clinics or whatever it is that they need in that area? But to have to take all of that money and not include the community is just not right. That was what our fight was about.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the interesting things about when you think about this whole, as you well know, I mean, I asked the question to Mr. Barber. I said, you know, where, at what point does the fundamental law come into the forefront? And is it the state law, federal law, I'm curious to see how that's adjudicated and how that would affect what you're doing and what you're talking about. And I think that's going to make a real... I can hear a lot of background noise. Hello? Somebody's playing some music.
What is going on?
I don't know.
They need to.
But anyway, are you there? So anyway, so I was curious to see how that's going to go. But, you know, we'll definitely talk about that again. And, I'm sorry that some of the things that, you know, that's happening in your area, because way back when, I had the Forgotten People and Save the Confluence. I still like to bring them back in to find out how things are going with your area, what's happening with the Confluence. Because here's the thing that I'm looking at, that I always look at, and that is that the Navajo Nation government should be out there looking to get business, to get economic development started. But it's got to be done in the private sector. The Navajo Nation should be there looking at Navajo first, because that's a law. It's a Navajo Business Opportunity Act. But that's what it is. And so that says Navajo first in everything. So having said that, you know, where does the Navajo fundamental or the fundamental law of the Navajo come into play? And how can it be used? And not only that, is that how does it work with the federal government? So we got this person that's also on the phone, 928-380. And I think your name was Francis. You're still on the air. Do you have any opinions on this?
Well, one of my reasons for listening on this one is I'm an advocate for and I've been an advocate regarding to our people, Mi'kmaq Kachin. Though I was raised by my grandma, and I always wondered how the political factor of our government. And one of the things that we talk about that I hear the most is that our kids are being impacted by colonization, Western world. You can name all different kinds. Schooling, they leave a reservation, and right now most of them don't want to come back. Where and how do we implement and give them back the understanding that there's a fundamental law of the Diné, and then also the traditional and cultural law of the Diné, and then also the customary law of the Diné. And then here's the one that comes forth. The fourth one is the Title 1 through Title 26. So right now the government at the Navajo Nation level, a lot of it is the practical one that they're using the most is Title 1 through Title 26. When we as the Navajo, the Neni, Dlinigi, Ande, when we try to talk about the principle of the law, and this is my first year that I'm in the Tasnele. And I speak of that all the time. When I go to agency meeting, SIP meeting and all that, and I bring that up even at the council chambers. Diko Kodomus for Barber Ningit Al Khalet Aibra not Ati Dora not An, not the Nebenat, Ahaki Kune, not An. Joe Naltzit. Ako Sahab Oyo Business Shitlan Tragi Eya Nihitin Ne Lato Spahasunda. Lego Bayajiski Dobe Joji Aho Haishinda Betos Neta Nia. And what was interesting that Mr. Barber brought up was the year 2003, it was recognized by the United Nations. Joan from Cameron area, she's talking about ambassadorship. But really, the other lady just a while ago talking about that resort and stuff like that. Economic development. And do you know what? In the fundamental law, that was not the principle. The principle of that was the indenato, no cotton. occult. When we try to incorporate so many things, that's where Title 1 through Title 26 came in. All those titles came in when we incorporated all the other subsidized laws that we want to put in. But tonight's topic was very good.
Do you think that we covered some of the critical areas, or we brought up more questions?
I feel like that you just barely touched the iceberg.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
This is just all the highlights and summaries of what the fundamental law is. Because the fundamental law, like I said, the Nebbe has on me. And then it's a 24-hour implementation. So, and then it's seasonal too. It's good though. It's good, and I will tell more people about your radio show.
Yeah,
because I've been busy and everything else, and finally I just said, let me call it in. Let me see what's going on. I thought I was late, but it was good.
I appreciate it, Johnny. Hey, Darlene, I'd like to have you call back in also. So, let's stay in touch with each other. And I mean, these are some really awesome topics that we're covering. Pass the word along, everybody. As you can tell, next week we're going to have Washington office on, and I'm going to bring back even Mr. Lamar Whitmer. You guys can ask him directly why that he feels like he needs to be an investor. So thank you very much. Yeah.
Oh,
we'll see you guys later. Goodbye.
Oh. Bye.